Sha Kripa Sindhu Bhiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So we're continuing with our reading of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita from the Madhya Lila, chapter 12, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. And we're continuing with the pastime of when the Lord's associates arranged the meeting with King Prataparudra's son. And we'll start with text 61. E Mahabhagavata Yanhara Darshane Vrajendra Nandana Smriti Haya Sarvajane. Here is a great devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Upon seeing him, everyone can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda. Purport. In his Anubhashya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur states that a materialist mistakenly accepts the body and mind as the source of material enjoyment. In other words, a materialist accepts the bodily conception of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not regard the son of Maharaj Prataparudra with the idea that he was a materialist, being the son of a materialist, nor did he consider himself the enjoyer. Mayavadi philosophers make a great mistake by assuming that the Satchid Ananda Vigraha, the transcendental form of the Lord, is like a material body. However, there is no material contamination in transcendence, nor is there any possibility of imagining a spirituality in matter. One cannot accept matter as spirit, as indicated by the technical words Boma Ijyadhi from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.84.13. Materialistic Mayavadis imagine the form of God in matter, although according to their imagination, God is unlimitedly formless. It says unlimitedly here in the book. Okay, because thinking about it, God is unlimitedly formless, meaning God is ultimately formless? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Prabhus. This is simply mental speculation. Even though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he placed himself in the position of a gopi. He also accepted the king's son directly as the son of Maharaj Nanda, Vrajendra Nandana Hari. This is perfect vision according to the direction of the Vedic culture, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Pandita Samadarshanaha. Such acceptance of the absolute truth, according to Vaishnava philosophy, is explained in both the Mundika Upanishad 3.2.3 and the Katha Upanishad 1.2.23. In the following words, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedhyaya Nabahuna Srutena Yam Evaisha Vrinute Tena Labhyas Tasyaisha Atma Vivrinute Tanum Svam. The Supreme Lord is not obtained by expert explanations, by vast intelligence, nor even by much hearing. He is obtained only by one whom he himself chooses. To such a person he manifests his own form. The living entity is entangled in material existence due to his lack of such spiritual vision. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung in his Kalyana Kalpa Taru, Sangsare Asiya Prakriti Bhajiya Purusha Abhimane Mari. When the living entity comes to the material world, he thinks himself the enjoyer. Thus he becomes more and more entangled. Text 62. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I have become very much obligated just by seeing this boy. After saying this, the Lord again embraced the prince. As soon as the prince was touched by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, symptoms of ecstatic love immediately manifested themselves in his body. These symptoms included perspiration, trembling, tears, being stunned, and jubilation. The boy began to cry and dance, and he chanted, "Krishna, Krishna." Upon seeing his bodily symptoms and his chanting and dancing, all the devotees praised him for his great spiritual fortune. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calmed the youth and ordered him to come there daily to meet him. Ramananda Roy and the boy then departed from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Ramananda took him back to the king's palace. The king was very happy when he heard of his son's activities. Just by embracing his son, the king was filled with ecstatic love, just as if he had touched Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. From then on, the fortunate prince was one of the most intimate devotees of the Lord. Purport. In this regard, Srila Prabodhananda Sarasvati writes, "Yat Karunya Kataksha Vaibhava Vatam." If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply glanced at someone for a moment, that person immediately turned into one of the most confidential devotees of the Lord. The prince came to see the Lord for the first time, but by the Lord's mercy, the boy immediately became a topmost devotee. This was not in theory, but in practice. We cannot apply the Nagda Matrika Nyaya formula. This states that if one's mother was naked in her childhood, she should continue to remain naked, even though she has become the mother of so many children. If a person is actually blessed by the mercy of the Lord, he can immediately become a topmost devotee of the Lord. The logic of Nagda Matrika states that if a person is not elevated on such and such a date, he cannot become an exalted devotee overnight, as it were. This particular instance offers evidence to contradict that theory. On the previous day, the boy was simply an ordinary prince, and the next day, he was counted as one of the topmost devotees of the Lord. This was all made possible by the causeless mercy of the Lord. The Lord is omnipotent, all-powerful, and almighty, and he can act as he likes. Text 69. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted in the society of his pure devotees, performing his pastimes and spreading the Sankirtan movement. And of course we know that later on, after the dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Jagannath Rath Yatra, King Prataparudra does get to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the guidance of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in the garden. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking rest, the king goes in dressed as a Vaishnav and recites many wonderful verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Lord even hugs him and embraces him. And it's also stated that he shows him divine opulences, of which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks him never to disclose. So he later on gets the full mercy. Text 70. Some of the prominent devotees, like Advaita Acharya, used to invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take his meals at their homes. The Lord accepted such invitations accompanied by his devotees. In this way, the Lord passed some days in great jubilation. Then the car festival of Lord Jagannath approached. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first of all called for Kashi Mishra, then for the superintendent of the temple, then for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Kashi Mishra, his home was the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when you go to Jagannath Puri, you can still go to the Gambira, where there's a room that's in the house of Kashi Mishra. And Kashi Mishra is also the spiritual master of Prataparudra. In Antya Lila, in the deliverance of Gopinath Patanayaka, it's stated that Prataparudra would daily go and massage the feet of Kashi Mishra. Every day after his lunch, he would go and serve his guru in that way. Text 73. When these three people came before the Lord, he begged them for permission to wash the temple known as Gundicha. Purport. The Gundicha temple is situated 2 miles northeast of the Jagannath temple. At the time of Rath Yatra festival, Lord Jagannath goes to the Gundicha temple from his original temple and stays there for 1 week. After 1 week, he returns to his original temple. It is understood by hearsay that the wife of Indradumna, the king who established the Jagannath temple, was known as Gundicha. There is also mention of the name of the Gundicha temple in authoritative scripture. The area of the Gundicha temple is estimated to be 288 cubits by 215 cubits. A cubit is about a foot and a half. The main temple inside is about 36 cubits by 30 cubits, and the Kirtan hall is 32 cubits by 30 cubits. Text 74. Upon hearing the Lord's request for permission to wash the Gundicha temple, the Padicha, the superintendent of the temple, said, "My dear sir, we are all your servants. Whatever you desire is our duty to perform. The king gave us special order for me to do without delay whatever your lordship orders. My dear lord, washing the temple is not service befitting you. Nonetheless, if you wish to do so, it is to be accepted as one of your pastimes. To wash the temple, you need many water pots and brooms. Therefore, order me. I can immediately bring all these things to you." As soon as the superintendent understood the desire of the Lord, he immediately delivered 100 new water pots and 100 brooms for sweeping the temple. The next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associates with him and with his own hand smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies. He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hand, and taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gundicha. In this way, the Lord and his associates went to cleanse the Gundicha temple. At first, they cleansed the temple with the brooms. The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, Singhasana, cleansed it, and again put it in its original place. Thus, the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple's buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the Kirtan hall. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operation just to instruct others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing the respective duties. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way, it became transcendentally beautiful. At times, when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and in some places, he even cleansed with those tears. After this, the place where the deity's food was kept, Bhoga Mandir, was cleansed. Then the yard was cleansed, and then all the residential quarters, one after the other. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust, and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his cloth and threw it outside. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees, in great jubilation, began to gather straws and dust with their own cloths and throw them outside the temple. The Lord then told the devotees, "I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust you have collected outside." Even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was greater. After the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to cleanse. The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws, and grains of sand and throwing them outside. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas cleansed the temple for the second time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see the cleansing work. While the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with filled water pots, and they simply awaited the Lord's order to throw the water from them. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for water, all the men immediately brought the 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them before the Lord. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first washed the main temple and then thoroughly washed the ceiling, the walls, the floor, the sitting place, Singhasana, and everything else within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and his devotees began to throw water onto the ceiling. When this water fell, it washed the walls and floor. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his own hands, and all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord. All the devotees within the temple began to wash. Each one had a broom in his hand, and in this way they cleansed the temple of the Lord. Someone brought water to pour into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone poured water on his lotus feet. The water that fell from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drunk by someone who hid himself. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was giving that water in charity. After the room was washed, the water was let out through an outlet, and it then flowed and filled the yard outside. The Lord mopped the rooms with his own clothes, and he polished the throne with them also. In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots. After the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms. This is a very instructive verse on cleanliness. We'll read it one more time. In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots. After the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms. When the temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool, and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. Since hundreds of men were engaged in bringing water from the lake, there was no place to stand on the banks. Consequently, someone began to draw water from a well. Hundreds of devotees brought water in the pots, and hundreds took the empty pots away to fill them again. With the exception of Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Swarup Damodar, Brahmananda Bharati, and Paramananda Puri, everyone was engaged in filling the water pots and bringing them there. Many of the water pots were broken when people collided with one another, and hundreds of men had to bring new water pots to fill. Some people were filling the pots, and others were washing the rooms, but everyone was engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and Hari. One person begged for a water pot by chanting the holy names Krishna, Krishna, and another delivered a pot while chanting Krishna, Krishna. Whenever anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the holy name of Krishna. Consequently, the holy name of Krishna became an indication for everyone who wanted something. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vibrating the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love, he himself was performing the work of hundreds of men. It appeared as though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were cleansing and washing with 100 hands. He approached every devotee just to teach him how to work. When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him. But if he saw that someone was not working to his satisfaction, he immediately chastised that person, not bearing him any grudge. The Lord would say, "You've done well. Please teach this to others so that they may act in the same way." As soon as they heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say this, everyone became ashamed. Thus the devotees began to work with great attention. They washed the Jagamohan area and then the place where food was kept. All other places were also washed. In this way, the meeting place was washed, the entire yard, the raised sitting places, the kitchen, and every other room. Thus, all places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without. After everything was thoroughly washed, a Vaishnav from Bengal, who was very intelligent and simple, came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. The Gaudiya Vaishnav then took that water and drank it himself. Seeing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little unhappy and was also outwardly angry. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. The Lord then called for Sarup Damodar and told him, "Just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnav. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. I now do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnav has greatly implicated me." Purport. It is significant that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Swarup Damodar Goswami that the Bengali Vaishnav was your Gaudiya Vaishnav. This means that all Gaudiya Vaishnavs who are followers of the Chaitanya cult are subordinate to Swarup Damodar Goswami. The parampara system is very strictly observed by Gaudiya Vaishnavs. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal secretary was Swarup Damodar Goswami. The next group of devotees was the six Goswamis, then Kaviraj Goswami. It is necessary to observe the parampara system of the Chaitanya cult. There are many offenses one can commit while serving the Lord, and these are described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Hari Bhakti Vilas, and other books. According to the rules and regulations, no one should accept obeisances in the temple of the Lord before the deity. Nor is it proper for a devotee to offer obeisances and touch the feet of the spiritual master before the deity. This is considered an offense. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was personally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it was not actually offensive to wash his lotus feet in the temple. However, because he was playing the part of an acharya, the Lord considered himself an ordinary human being. He also wanted to give instructions to ordinary human beings. The point is that even though one plays the part of a spiritual master, he should not accept obeisances or permit a disciple to wash his feet before the deity. This is a matter of etiquette. Text 128. At this point, Swarup Damodar Goswami caught the Gaudiya Vaishnav by the neck and, giving him a little push, ejected him from the Gundicha Puri temple and made him stay outside. After Swarup Damodar Goswami returned within the temple, he requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to excuse that innocent person. After this incident, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. He then asked all of the devotees to sit down in two lines on both sides. The Lord then personally sat down in the middle and picked up all kinds of straw, grains of sand, and dirty things. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was picking up the straws and grains of sand, he said, "I shall gather everyone's collection, and I shall ask whoever has collected less than all the others to pay a fine of sweet cakes and sweet rice." In this way, all the quarters of the Gundicha temple were completely cleansed and cleared. All quarters were cool and spotless, like one's cleansed and pacified mind. When the water from the different rooms was finally let out through the halls, it appeared as if new rivers were rushing out to meet the waters of the ocean. Outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how this was done. Purport. In commenting on the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the world leader, was personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within one's cleansed and pacified heart. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart, as described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sikshastika, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. In this age, everyone's heart is especially unclean, as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Hridayantastoya Bhadrani. To wash away all dirty things accumulated within the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17 confirms the statement, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayanta Stoya Bhadrani Vidunoti Surit Satam. Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. If a devotee at all wants to cleanse his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of the Lord, Sri Krishna, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna. This is a simple process. Krishna himself will help cleanse the heart because he is already seated there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart, and the Lord wants to give directions, but one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept the Gundicha temple. The devotee therefore has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gundicha temple. In this way, one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. If the heart is filled with straw, grains of sand, weeds, or dust, in other words, anyabhilasha purna, one cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about through fruit of work, speculative knowledge, the mystic yoga system, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. The heart must be cleansed without ulterior motive. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadyanavritam. In other words, there should not be any external motive. One should not attempt material upliftment, understanding the Supreme by speculative knowledge, fruit of activity, severe austerity and penance, and so on. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's sitting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts unless our hearts are cleansed. A material desire is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent. In modern language, this is called economic development. An inordinate desire for economic development is considered to be like straws and grains of sand within the heart. If one is overly engaged in material activity, the heart will always remain disturbed, as stated by Narottam Das Thakur, Sangsara Vishanale Diva Nishi Hiyajvale Judayate Na Kainu Upaya. In other words, endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. Material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation to the higher planetary system, and even living happily within the material world. Modernized material benefits are like the dust of material contamination. When this dust is agitated by the whirlwind of fruitive activity, it overcomes the heart. Thus, the mirror of the heart is covered with dust. There are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activities, but people do not know how life after life they are keeping their hearts unclean. One who cannot give up the desire for fruitive activity is understood to be covered by the dust of material contamination. Karmis generally think that the interaction of fruitive activities can be countered by another karma or fruitive activity. This is certainly a mistaken conception. If one is deluded by such a conception, he is cheated by his own activity. Such activities have been compared to an elephant's bathing. An elephant may bathe very thoroughly, but as soon as it comes out of the river, it immediately takes some sand from the land and throws it all over its body. If one suffers due to his past fruitive activities, he cannot counteract his suffering by performing auspicious activities. The sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way these sufferings can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. When one takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. When the heart is actually cleansed, one can clearly see the Lord sitting there without any disturbance. In Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.68, the Lord confirms that he sits within the heart of the pure devotee. Sadvo hridayam mahyam sadunam hridayam tvaham. Impersonal speculation, monism, or merging into the existence of the Supreme, speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and meditation are all compared to grains of sand. They simply cause irritation to the heart. No one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such activities, nor do we give the Lord a chance to sit in our hearts peacefully. Rather, the Lord is simply disturbed by them. Sometimes yogis and jnanis in the beginning take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a way to begin their various practices, but when they falsely think that they have attained release from the bondage of material existence, they give up that chanting. They do not consider that the ultimate goal is the form of the Lord or the name of the Lord. Such unfortunate creatures are never favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for they do not know what devotional service is. Lord Krishna describes them in the Bhagavad Gita in this way: Tanaham dvishata kuran samsareshu naradaman kshapam yajasram asubhan asurishva eva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Bhagavad Gita 16:19. By his practical example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the outside of the temple, fearing that the grains of sand would again come within. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that even though one may become free from the desire for fruitive activity, sometimes the subtle desire for fruitive activity again comes into being within the heart. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity, but the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as kutinati, fault finding, and pratishtahasa, the desire for name and fame and for high position, jiva hingsa, envy of other living entities, nishidachar, accepting things forbidden in the shastra, kam, desire for material gain, and puja, hankering for popularity. The word kutinati means duplicity. As an example of pratishtahasya, one may attempt to imitate Srila Haridas Thakur by living in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. A neophyte devotee is certain to be attacked by other material desires as well, namely desires for women and money. In this way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder, like that of a materialist. Gradually, one desires to become a reputed devotee or an avatar incarnation. The word jiva hingsa, envy of other living entities, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Preaching work is described as paropakara, welfare activity for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. If one desires to make a compromise with the Mayavadis, he is also engaged in material activity. A devotee should never make compromises with non-devotees. By acting as a professional guru, mystic yogi, or miracle man, one may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic, but all this is considered to be dust, straw, and grains of sand within the heart. In addition, one should follow the regulative principles and not desire illicit sex, gambling, intoxicants, or meat. To give us practical instructions, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as is evident from his using his own personal garments for cleaning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed to the stand of clean marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religious activity, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. All these are like spots on clean cloth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse all these away. By his practical activity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down and we should observe the festival by distributing prasadam and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behavior. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleaning, and those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. The Lord was very pleased with those who could cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called anartha nivritti, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus, the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandir was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed to receive Lord Sri Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, cleansing of the Gundicha Margin ki. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.